Take your Bible, please, and turn to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Jeff mentioned about a two-song service today and said I would not be preaching two messages. At my age, you're lucky to get one, okay? Well, I thought Fred would have his Chiefs outfit on today, but I see he didn't have it on. We kid Fred about being bandwagon man. I was going to say the champion's in the house, but
he's not paying overtime.
No, I know. That's right. Well, anyway, today I'm going to preach about the Apostle Paul's struggle with loneliness. And of course, you know, the stock answers this. We know that the Lord is with us and His presence is always there. But see, loneliness is part of the human experience. Just because you're a believer, just because you know the Lord and all that, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have days of loneliness. Now, last week we set the foundation for this sermon in going to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, because in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we talked about the different seasons of life. And there were 28 comparisons to the seasons of life that we saw there in Ecclesiastes 3. So what I'm going to do today is take from the foundation of that sermon, and today we'll begin our series in talking about growing in the seasons of life, and to look at one of the seasons of life, and the seasons of life, one season of life is loneliness. Now there's others, but the one that we're going to look at that's illustrated in the life of the Apostle Paul is the season of loneliness. You say, well, I don't need this sermon. One day you're going to need it. One day you'll need to know how to deal with loneliness. In his book, 6 Hours One Friday, Max Lucado wrote about walking through a cemetery and coming across a tombstone of one Grace Llewellyn Smith. There was no date of her birth. There was no date of her death. There are no facts about her life or work or interest other than the names of her two husbands on the tombstone. But what caught his attention was her epitaph. And here's what it said: sleeps, but rests not. Loved, but was not loved. Tried to please, but pleased not. Died as she lived, alone. And what kept haunting Lucado was that last statement: died as she lived, alone. And so, as we think about this subject today, I want you to think about not only Paul, but think about the other examples we find in the Bible of great people of God who experienced loneliness. Think about David. Much of his life was spent in caves, hiding from Saul. He was on the run from Saul. Saul was after him to take his life. One point in the psalm, David said this. He said, "When my mother and my father forsakes me, God, you are there." At one point in the psalm, David said this: God is near to those who have a broken heart. Those who are crushed, God will lift up. You think about that. I think about Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He saw his nation decay before his very eyes, and it broke his heart. All the values and all the things that he had once held close, all those were gone now and all that. And for the nation of Israel, it was just a sad time. Before they split the two books, the book of Lamentation was one book with Jeremiah. But Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations in the Bible. And all it is just a book. It's a poem of funeral. Funeral poems is what it is. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He knew what it was to feel loneliness. I think about Paul in the New Testament that we're going to look at today, and I'll point out some things about his life, but what about Jesus? On those hours on the cross, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus felt loneliness because God the Father could not look on the sin that the Son was carrying, your sin and my sin, the sin of the world. And so he felt that loneliness. Jesus knows how you feel. And so today we're going to look at Paul. And what I want to do with this scripture today, I'm just going to point out some things. And you get your Bible open or look at the screen to 2 Timothy 4, and we'll go through this morning. There are four causes of loneliness that's illustrated in the life of Apostle Paul. The first is seen in verses 6 and 8. This would be a time of transitions. Paul said this. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that he would die very soon. This is Paul's second imprisonment in Rome. In his first imprisonment in Rome, he was optimistic about his release. He felt good about it. And so now we come to his second imprisonment in Rome. The first was in 63 A.D., 64, we're at 67 A.D. here, so it was a few years later. The second time he's in prison in Rome, and Paul is not optimistic. The persecution of Nero against the church and against Christians at this point is at a height. Tradition tells us in the same year that the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Timothy is the same year of his death. He's talking about dying. He says, I know the time of my departure is at hand. So, what we know is that transition can be a cause for loneliness. And life really is a series of transitions. And so it may be a transition in your life that you go through and you feel what he felt. But Paul felt this in his life, and it caused him to feel alone. In his book, Slaying the Giants, Pastor David Jeremiah talks about the experience of loneliness. He talks about the lonely single who goes home to that empty apartment. He talks about the lonely spouse whose husband or wife has died. He talks about the lonely survivor. He talks about the lonely senior citizen. He talks about the lonely sufferer, the one going through health crises that wonders if anybody cares. He talks about the lonely servant of God in his book, Slaying the Giants. I have missionary friends on the foreign field that I went to seminary with, and when I talked to them, they talked to me about some of their struggles on the foreign mission field. And one of the great struggles they face is loneliness. That feeling of homesickness, that feeling of being detached from everything that they knew and everything that they were brought up with, being in a foreign country. Loneliness is real. Second cause of loneliness was not only a transition in Paul's life, but also he talks about separations. Verses 9, verse 21, verse 9, he says, do your best to come to me quickly. In verse 21, do your best to get here before winter. He's separated. In this chapter, what you find is this. There's a list of seven names that Paul gives here of friends that he's separated from. Luke was a close companion of the Apostle Paul. There are other names mentioned here, six other names that were friends of Paul, but see, he's separated from them now. Separation can cause this feeling of loneliness. Another cause is seen in verse 14, opposition, when he talks about Alexander the coppersmith. You know what he was? He was an idol maker. And if you know anything about the day that Apostle Paul lived, there's a lot of people who made a livelihood out of making these little idols. And that's what he was. That's how he made his living. He was a coppersmith. And so he didn't want what Paul was doing. Paul was preaching against that. And Paul was preaching the message of Jesus Christ. So it could have been, and what some people think is that when Paul went to court, or went to, before he went to trial for his time, what we would call a time of arraignment, that one way that this man opposed the Apostle Paul was to make a false statement against him, to be a false witness against him. Have you ever had something like that done to you, where a false statement or a false witness was made against you? That's what he's feeling here. He's feeling this opposition that's coming against him. And then, you know, it could have been, you know, that he's very opposed to the message that the Apostle Paul was preaching. Another cause of the Apostle Paul's feeling of loneliness was one of rejection. And you see this in verse 16 and verse 10. He says, "No one came to my support, but everyone deserted me." Then he goes on to say in the other verse, Demas has forsaken me. Now, Demas was a close associate of the Apostle Paul at one time. But now when the Apostle Paul needs him, where is he? He's deserted him. And again, when Paul goes to court, he says, you know, "No one went with me. No one stood up for me. No one stood for me." And so he's going through this feeling of rejection. So what happens is this, that most of the time, when we feel our sense of loneliness, or we feel rejection or opposition or transition or separation, whatever it may be, what we do is to build walls. And we build those walls around our lives. I had a good pastor friend when I was in Cleveland, Tennessee. This pastor friend told me one time at our pastor's meeting, he said, "Me and my wife have decided that we will never make close friends to anyone anymore. And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because we've been hurt so much." And I thought, you know, I really didn't understand that at that time. Later in life now, I can understand how you get to that point, but that's really not what to do. We don't need to be building walls. We need to be building bridges rather than building walls in our life. But see, that's where he was here. And he was just feeling this sense of rejection. Loneliness, someone has said this, that loneliness is a sick feeling in the stomach. It is anxiety that doesn't come and go, but it lingers. Loneliness remains with you all the time. Another one has said this, that what loneliness does is to isolate us. We feel alone. We feel like no one understands our pain. We feel very, very lonely. But again, what I want to remind you of is this. Feeling loneliness is not a sin. It's part of the human nature. But here's what I know. God has created us for friendship. God's created us for relationship. In the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, God said it's not good, you know, to be alone. We need friendship. We need relationships. Now, there's different ways that people deal with loneliness. Some of those ways can be self-defeating ways. Some people deal with it with becoming a workaholic. Others deal with it with materialism. Some people turn to alcohol. Some people turn to illegal drugs. And really, those are self-defeating ways. But how did the Apostle Paul, the second point today I want you to see here, how did Paul deal with his loneliness? What do you see illustrated in this chapter in the Bible, how he dealt with it? Well, one thing he did was this. He utilized his time. In verse 12, he said, "Bring my coat, Timothy, and bring my books." While he was in prison, during his first imprisonment, there are four letters in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul wrote. Now, this is his second imprisonment. Here at this time, he doesn't have the freedom like he had in his first imprisonment. But during that first imprisonment, during his time of loneliness there, he utilized his time. He wrote Ephesians. He wrote Philippians. He wrote Colossians. And he wrote the letter, the book of Philemon, to his good friend. Now, 13 books in the New Testament, most of the New Testament is given to us by the Apostle Paul. But four of those were written when he was in prison. So he said, bring my coat, bring my books, the books that he's talking about there, the books that he wrote, the New Testament books that he wrote. So he did that. Secondly, minimize my hurt. In other words, don't rehearse it. In verse, in the scripture, here's what Paul is saying in verse 16 is this. He said, everyone has deserted me. May it not be held against them. In other words, Paul was not going to let his loneliness turn into bitterness. You understand loneliness and bitterness go hand in hand. So what he's not going to do is just rehearse this. Now, he has hurt, and he has pain. Here he is, you know, he thought these guys would be with him, and he thought that they'd be standing with him. But he says, you know, they all have forsaken me for whatever reason. And so he's feeling this loneliness in his life. But he's not going to rehearse it. He's not going to go over it and over it and over it and over it. He's not going to become bitter about it. He's just going to, you know, go on with it. And the third thing here is that he recognized God's presence. Look at verse 17. And here's the answer to loneliness. Here it is. But the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood by my side and gave me strength. Isaiah 43:2, when we walk through the fire, we're not alone. When we go through deep waters, He is with us. When the waters flood over me, I know God is there. And then we find scriptures again in the Bible. Matthew 28:20, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In Hebrews 13:5, for He Himself, God Himself, the Lord Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what Paul recognized? He recognized the presence of the Lord. And in his time of loneliness, he went to the answer. And he went to the person who was the only answer for his loneliness, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he found his strength there. And he found his encouragement there. And then what he did was to emphasize others' needs. And he really he really thought about, you know, what purpose this could serve for him. And in verse 17, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And so he realized that during that time that he could focus on the Lord and do something productive, and that is exactly what he did. And you know how that benefits us? We're reading this chapter today. We're reading this book today that Paul wrote. Here's a man who's struggling. Here's a man, even though he's one of the greatest Christians that you would ever find, he's having a struggle with loneliness, but he's telling us here how he dealt with it. He's telling us how he got through it, and it was through the help of the Lord. So, what do we do? I think one thing we need to be honest about is to acknowledge the reality of loneliness. We may say, well, I'm not bothered with that. Like I said, you may say, well, I don't need a message like this. One day you will. And so it's just to be honest about it. Acknowledge it. and say, Lord, I need your help. Accept God's provision for our loneliness. Allow God's word to fill our mind and heart. See, that's what Paul's doing here. What I found in my time of loneliness, and I guess the benefit of it has been this, that it really helps me to focus on His word, to go to the book. It really helps me to pray, to get my thoughts together, to think about, you know, what I need to be thinking about, and to put my focus on the Lord. So just allow God's word to fill your heart and mind, and then to activate your fellowship and your friendship with other believers. You know, every time the word saints is used in the New Testament, it's never in the singular. It's always in the plural. You know why? Because we need each other. And we need the encouragement from each other. And we need the help and support from each other. Now, let me say this. If you don't have this spiritual base, this spiritual relationship with God, let me just say something to you. God knows your heartache and He knows how you feel. He really does. You may feel that no one cares, but I tell you this, God cares. God says, I care for you. God says, I love you. God says, I have a plan and purpose for your life. In preparing for this sermon today, one of the definitions that I found of loneliness, referring to a person who doesn't have a relationship with God, here's how they define loneliness. They said what loneliness really is being homesick for God. In other words, you have never recognized that your greatest need is God. And the reason you feel so lonely is because you've never recognized that. And so He wants to have a relationship with you. And so what I would say is just open your life to Him and come to get to know Him. You know, the Lord can meet the deepest need of our lives. The Bible tells us that loneliness is a season of life that we go through. But I know this, that the emptiness in our heart, that void in our heart, can only be met by God. As we talked last week, He has put eternity in our heart, and He wants to have a relationship with us. And if you do not have that relationship with Him, please come to Him. Because that's how the void is going to be filled. That's how the emptiness is going to be met. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christian friend, if you're struggling today with loneliness, just remember this. It's not a sin. It's not. I mean, it's part of the struggle of life. But I can guarantee you this. The Lord will be with you. The Lord will strengthen you. And the Lord will help you. Just like He did the Apostle Paul. Tradition tells us that only a few months after Paul wrote this letter here that we're talking about today, that he was beheaded by Nero in Rome. Now think about that. But yet, he stayed faithful to the Lord all the way through. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank You today. We thank You today for this letter that we have in the New Testament. What we have here is the letter of a man who is going through a real struggle in life. Here's the great Apostle Paul going through a time of loneliness in his life. I think about Paul being in that prison. I think about the separation from his friends. I think about the thoughts that probably were going through his mind and heart at this time. And it was just natural to feel loneliness. And Father, there are times in our life when we feel that loneliness. And Father, when we go through this season of life, I pray that we would do the things that we find illustrated here in the life of Apostle Paul. There's different causes, there's different reasons that come in the seasons of life that make us feel the way we feel. But Lord, we know this. You understand how we feel. You understand the pain. You understand the hurt. Because you've been there. And as the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we don't have a Savior, we don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with our feelings. Because you went through pain and suffering, you know how we feel. I pray today that we would bring that to you. Pain, the heartache, the suffering, this lamb at your feet today. I pray for those who feel that emptiness and void in their life that only you can meet. I pray that they would come today and begin a relationship with you. I pray that they would come today and establish that spiritual base in their life and leave here today with your presence in their heart and life. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.